Synthaholics. Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Today we are talking about the TV series The Expanse. We have myself, Aaron O'Brien. We have David Duncan.
Remember the Cant.
The Cant. And we have Holly Michelle.
Or is it I can't remember?
Thanks.
I can't remember what happened. So we wanted to take a hard left turn into another sci-fi series.
And is it really that hard if it's such a sci-fi?
No, it's not. Super easy, actually, especially if you have Amazon Prime subscription. So The Expanse is a TV series.
Oh, you know what? Sorry. No, it's like how they turned and burned in the first episode.
Very nice. The Expanse is a TV series that's on Amazon Prime, or developed through Amazon Prime. And it was a novel first.
It's a series of novels.
Right, which I'll get into later. But before we get into that, we've got some cool news. Star Trek Strange New Worlds. We have a greenlit Pike, Spock, and Number One series through CBS All Access.
Oh.
Yes, Dave.
I'll believe it when I see it. They've been talking about Section 31 for 16 years. We haven't even gotten a peep about that.
I know, but I think we're going to be seeing more as things move along here. There was such a huge overabundance of people wanting to see this series, because people loved the Anson Mount as Pike. They liked what's his name, Spock, Peck, Ethan Peck. Mm-hmm. And
Rebecca Romijn is number one.
So they loved all these characters. They thought they did an excellent job casting and playing the characters. So I think a lot of people wanted to see this. And I'm excited, too, because I want to see the Enterprise go out and explore. And this is supposed to be an episodic, so it's not going to be in a long story arc.
Oh, they're going to lie about that, I'm sure.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Your cynicism already, David.
I can't not be cynical. Alex Kurtzman's given us three mediocre seasons of Star Trek, and I just can't expect anything other than mediocrity out of him. I mean, Anson Mount and Ethan Peck and Rebecca Romijn were by far the best parts of season two of Discovery, but their performances are despite the bad writing that was surrounding them. And if they're in the same situation with the creative team that doesn't know how to write Star Trek, I just can't bring myself to get excited right now. I need to see it to believe it. I don't know.
I think this is going to be a fun series, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a different take on all this, and you know, we're not seeing like that long story arc, so we can have fun with these characters. We know these characters from before. We know the Enterprise. We know the world, like the universe they fly around in. So this is kind of like we have an idea of the parameters where they're going to be. So, hey, it's planet exploration. It's meeting new civilizations, new life. It's going to be great. I mean, if they can even like get to the idea of what Star Trek was, especially during the days of like TOS and Next Generation. Actually, even Voyager, in a lot of ways, it's just coming across new things and trying to process it and figure it all out. It's half the fun of Star Trek. So I don't know.
I mean, it could be good, but I'm just really, really worried that they won't be able to do it right. And the thing is, like, everyone was complaining that Discovery was breaking canon left and right, and they sent them 900 years into the future so they can stop the complaints about breaking canon, and now we're setting a new show in the exact same time period where they can continue breaking canon. Just, It just seems like they don't know what they're doing. I mean,
I think they're getting better, Dave. That's the only thing I'm going to say. I think they're getting better because I think they heard all those complaints and they're trying to like correct those things.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. They sent Discovery to the future so they can stop breaking canon, but now they're developing a new show in the era they were already breaking canon in. So I'm just like, are they going to keep on the canon breaking train since they weren't able to build Discovery?
My theory is if you're out in deep space enough, you're probably not running into any of... If you go out exploring your strange new worlds as it is, it's you're out there seeing new stuff that you're never going to see in probably in any previous series or iterations of series.
Hell, we could have first contact with the Cardassians.
I mean, you could do a lot of that stuff. We could do... But, I mean...
Yeah.
I'm just saying they could be out there exploring and finding, you know, ferns that talk to them. You know, yeah. Why can't we have talking ferns
or space orchids?
Space orchids, exactly. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I like the cast, and I think it's going to be great. So that's where I'm at.
I mean, we said the same thing about Picard.
I liked Picard.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me three times, shame on me.
We're gonna have a battle to death. I'm in the middle of it. I didn't love everything Picard, but I think there were some shining moments. So Dave is just poo poo on everything. So
I'm sorry. Anyway. Every time somebody says poo poo, it's one of those words that makes me.
I loved Rios. Rios did a really good job.
Rios is great. Yeah. Poo-poo. All right, let's move on. We're going to go on to The Expanse. I sincerely hope that if you're listening to this episode, you have watched The Expanse, at least a couple episodes, because I really dug this. I was telling Dave before we recorded, I had started watching this I don't remember, maybe it was 2016? I can't remember, but I only got like maybe four episodes in, and then I kind of like for some reason like stopped watching. I don't know why, but you know, but it was much better than I even remembered. So
I stopped watching after the first season because back in the day it was just on Sci-Fi, and then they ported a season at a time over to Amazon, and then it got canceled on Sci-Fi. And then Amazon, like, there was a huge fan backlash and people wanting the show revived, so Amazon actually took it and they're developing new seasons. So we're up to season 4. Season 5 will be coming out at some point. It'll be nice if we can actually catch up to get ready for season 5 so we can do it live like we did, you know, Discovery and Picard. Because The Expanse has been fantastic so far. I've gotten up to season 2 now, rewatching all of season 1 and just started season 2, and it's a lot of fun.
So
yeah,
The Expanse is based off a book, our book series. And it's the book series is by James S. A. Corey, which is a pen name of two collaborators, Daniel Abraham and Ty Franken, or I think it's Frankic. They wrote this story together, and they started back in, I think, 2011, and they've been writing ever since that together. This Expanse series. The first book is called Leviathan Awakes, or Leviathan Wakes. And this is what I believe the first season's based off of, but I haven't read the book, so I don't know. So the TV series, obviously, I said before, it started off, you said the sci-fi, and then Amazon Prime picked up the series from there. So, yeah. Anything else anybody want to say about this before we get into the first episode?
Let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 books, and book 9 is supposedly going to drop sometime in 2020.
Nice. Holly?
Nothing.
All right. Well, we start with the first episode, which is Dulcelina, and which is, I guess, Spanish for sweetness. Or it's a
sweetheart.
Sweetheart, yeah. So this episode first came out in November 23rd, 2015, and it starts off on the asteroid belt near Saturn, and we get this character, James Holden, who is on this on this ice freighter of the Canterbury, and they are
ice pirates.
So that's where that starts off, that we get these ice pirates type of characters. But the beginning of the show starts off with a young woman, and we don't know who she is at the moment, but she's Julie Meow.
our detective friend gets very meow over her.
Meow. But she is in this container or room, and she's in zero G, and she's floating around. And she's trying to escape, and like we even see her like trying to take like a water bag apart just to drink some like droplets of water, because water is so precious. Air and water, apparently outside Earth, is like more precious than gold. Anyways. Ice pirates. So she's calling for help, and she's trying to get out, and we see her trying to get out of this room. And finally, when she gets out, she is going through this like ship, and this is where she comes across this weird, I don't even know what to call it. It's like
it's the engine room.
It's the engine room, but it's like
it's some a congealed weird mess of bodies and some other substance.
And she screams, and we're kind of like, don't know what happens after that. So it's, we don't know if she dies after that or what, but it's a pretty weird beginning. And then we jump to the asteroid Ceres, which is in our asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. And Ceres is an asteroid that's been transformed basically in this asteroid belt where people are mining the asteroid belt. So they're called, people that live there are like are called the Belters, and they're basically the working class. They're just trying to make their way through life. And Ceres seems to be one of the big ports or cities that are out there in space that people come into either bring in their findings from their mining explorations, or you know, a lot of things go down. So it's like port cities, if you can think of it that way. And we see that there are people out there like trying to, it's, yeah, go ahead.
But it's not just, I mean, the Ceres isn't just for the working class. There is a high class living on Ceres. Mm-hmm. So there are Earthers and presumably Mars people. I don't think we meet any Mars people, but there's definitely Earthers who live in the nice parts of Ceres.
We do see some Mars people once in a while, I think later on in the series, but that show up on Ceres, but they're not like a big part of it for some reason, right now at least. So this is where we get a character named Joe Miller, and he's sort of like the detective for the Star Helix Security. And we get this like preacher, or not even a preacher, he's sort of like a guy trying to incite a revolution for the Belters, basically saying that Earth doesn't care about you, Mars doesn't care about you, the Belters are on their own, we got to basically come together and
throwing, you know, gang signs, OPA for life, bitches.
OPA, which OPA stands for Outer Planetary Alliance. Is that correct? I believe that's right.
Yes, I believe so.
And so, this Joe Miller has this, another detective that's working with him, this Dimitri Havlock, and, he's kind of like shown him the ropes of Ceres. And, I guess there's during this time, there's, been a killer, someone's been killed at this, prostitute or brothel. And this is where, they're kind of like, it seems weird because this Joe Miller is sort of just like, yeah, he had to do it, whatever. We don't even know why she killed him. But apparently this guy got out of control or something, and she had to kill this guy. But
they didn't really show it. It just all happenstance, I guess. So, I mean,
but he doesn't seem to care either.
Oh, it's Ceres. No one cares.
Right. Right.
He's just, I mean, like, you get the feeling that they're cops and they kind of have to do their job, but they don't, like, really care.
Joe Miller seems totally on the, he's like a crooked cop, sort of. Like, he's mm-hmm. on the take, he's kind of, like, callous, doesn't care. So, anyways, so we kind of get that idea, and the prostitute they meet, Gaia, or Gia, we'll see her again later on in the series. So anyways, during this time, as he's showing his partner, Havelock, the kind of like the ropes of Ceres, they end up going back to the Star Helix security headquarters. And this is where we meet Captain Shaddad, and he gets sort of like a side job from Shaddad. So Joe Miller gets given a side job to investigate this Julie Meow. Mao. I shouldn't be talking. I've been drinking. And
the girl who gives it, she looks like the bad girl from Superman 2.
Superman 2. Oh yeah, she does look.
She looks Ursula. Exactly like that lady.
Yeah.
She fries the snake with her eyes. I think she does mm-hmm. that to our guy too. He just kind of looks at him funny.
So gets a side job to track down this Mao, who is a daughter of a really rich guy, and she came to Ceres at some point to join the OPA and kind of like get into this whole like underground world.
Revolt against daddy issues.
That's what Joe Miller thinks, the detective. He's sort of like, oh, so she's just got daddy issues and just wants to give his dad a hard time. So anyways, and apparently she's part of some racing ship known as the Razorback, which that's what he's going to be looking into. Anyways, so that's sort of like his thing that he's going to start doing. And then we get like a kind of, I guess Joe Miller goes through things like goes through the Ceres stations and see that people are like coughing and stuff like that because the air filters are bad. And some guy that apparently he took money for at once about to not look into the filters, saw that these kids were coughing, and he decides to beat the shit out of them and put them into an airlock and decompress it.
Yeah, I love this guy because he actually plays Death in Supernatural. He looks kind of like Death.
Oh, the guy who's supposed to change the filters?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty skinny old guy. Anyways, so and then we get onto Earth, where we meet this Christian. I'm going to butcher this name, Avisaril. I'm saying it, but she's a United Nations Deputy Undersecretary. And you see her with her grandson playing with her grandson and stuff like that. And then she says she has to go to work, and she gets on this plane and takes her to this United Nations black site where they're interrogating a member of the OPA, the Outer Planets Alliance,
I've been waiting to see if I could interrupt you.
Yeah. No, Nicole, interrupt.
Her grandkid was a freaking brat.
That kid's a brat.
Like,
didn't interrogate him apparently.
And that
I can tell you so much about a character. Like he, what was it? I don't know what he threw, but whatever it was, the way
it was
he
a water
threw
balloon.
It, and the yeah, I was yeah. just like you. I would have beat his ass. I wouldn't have tickled him.
Well, as funny as they make it, as like cutesy. Then she's interrogating this guy from the OPA who was apparently accused of carrying contraband stealth technology.
Man, he could play some good basketball if he wasn't shackled by gravity.
And they have him up on these hooks, so apparently people from these belters who have grown up in low gravity,
yeah.
they can't handle Earth's gravity, so they're, you know, the
gravity torture.
Yeah, they're basically holding him for 10 hours up on these hooks, and he's just in immense pain from the gravity. So she's trying to get him to just say, hey, just tell me who gave you this tech, who gave you this mission to do, and he won't answer. So, then from there, so we kind of get an idea what her character is about and what's happening with that. And then back out in space, the Canterbury, or as Dave says, it's called later, the Cant, is they're hauling ice, and they're getting ice together to make this on time bonus for. So they deliver ice on time, and it's they have a big haul of it. They're going to make a lot of money, so they're all going to get these bonuses. But they get this message of an SOS, basically a distress message. And they have to decide about, you know, if they're going to go and check this out.
We want a bonuses. Fuck that shit.
And this is where we meet James Holden, who is he's the second command. We meet the Captain McDowell, who is like just he's lost his mind. He's walking around in soil talking about flowers and flower beds. It's
Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, exactly. But very interesting because he's, you know, basically just going crazy. So actually, he's not the captain. I'm sorry. He's the XO. So he's the guy just making the decisions on how things are going on the actual, like what's happening on the ship. The captain's different than that. So... James Holden the second officer gets put into XO status, even though he doesn't want it. So now he's in command of the ship besides the captain. And when they hear that distress call, they say, if we go there, we're going to get delayed and we're not going to get our bonus. And it's probably just pirates trying to lure us into a trap. So let's just forget it and just keep going. Like, erase it from our logs that we never heard it. And at some point, James Holden sits down, like on a night shift on the bridge, and he cannot not listen to it. And he logs a distress call. So now they have to go and investigate this ship that's calling for distress, in distress. And so they change course, and they have a crew to go on a shuttlecraft together to investigate the ship. And we have James Holden, the XO, this chief engineer Naomi, and then we have the pilot Shed Grovel Gravelly. And that's a med officer, and then the pilot is Alex, and then the mechanic is Amos. So
Jane in space.
So they take this small shuttle, which I guess has lots of problems already, and they're going to go to the ship called the Scopely. Anyways, Scopely. Thank you. And so they fly out to the ship. And when they get to the ship, the ship is completely abandoned. They see holes blown through it. So they're walking in with their suits. And they find the distress call, because the ship is dead. There's no power to it. The distress call is coming from like a separate powered...
It's a little black box held to the underneath the console with gum.
Yeah, it's basically sending out the signal. So that's what they picked up on. So they're like, oh, my God, it's probably pirates or something like that. So all of a sudden they have
ice pirates.
They have another ship come into the area, and they start firing torpedoes, and they start firing on the Canterbury. So and then just before the show ends, we see the Canterbury is blown up.
They think it must be Mars.
Yes, and that's the first thing they think. So that wraps up this episode, and then we go to the next episode, which is the Big Empty. And
it starts off with his girlfriend, Holden's girlfriend, showing him how to make the perfect cup of coffee with matches, because you need sulfur to make coffee taste good in the future.
Right. I didn't get into that, but Holden has like kind of a girlfriend that was the navigator on the Canterbury.
She was the one who recorded the distress signal.
I thought he did.
No, he found it. She told the rest of the crew.
He actually told what's her name that he Naomi, the chief engineer, later on that he called that in.
Well, he called it in. No, but she was like, we should help them.
Oh yeah, she definitely was.
Like, she was on board with helping them. Everyone else was like, well, no, let's get our money.
Right, right.
And it's kind of her saying that, and then actually hearing the woman's voice on the distress signal, which made Holden change his mind.
So after the Canterbury is destroyed, we have a huge debris field that's flying from the Canterbury being blown up. And their shuttlecraft is racing away from the Scopoli, a derelict ship that's floating out of space. And they try to escape, but unfortunately they do get damaged from the debris field. And they have to shut down a lot of systems. Everything's not working pretty good for their ship. Their radio's dead. They don't have, I think they have 4 hours of oxygen, and they're just so far away from anybody actually discovering them, like where they are. So they decide they're going to do, go out on the hull of the ship and fix the radio. But to do that, they had to open the airlock, and the airlock has been damaged. And so they have to actually decompressurize the ship, and everyone has to go in their spacesuits while they do that. Unfortunately, during this time, while they're trying to fix the radio antenna, the Holden and Amos are out on this fixing the antenna. Naomi's down like in the guts of the ship, trying to like make all the circuits and everything work. But the navigator and the pilot and the med officer are up on the bridge deck, and
twiddling the navigator their thumbs.
Alex, the pilot, starts kind of like becoming oxygen deficient
because his oxygen. Singing, "Oh my darling, Clementine."
Yes, exactly.
Hypoxic is the word, by the way.
Thank you. And the medic decides to join their airlines together so they can breathe together, but that means they're both the air. Is running out, so they have to get this radio up and working. And so they get they barely get it up and working. Actually, by Holden kicking the antenna a couple times to get it booted.
Even up. In the future, you have to kick things to make it work.
I love that. Yeah, sometimes it just needs a good kick to get it started. And from there, they get into the ship. They repressurize the cabin, and they get everyone survives from there. So that was cool that they all lived. and obviously, they feel that Mars, you know, destroyed the Canterbury. And they feel like the Mars Navy, the Martian Navy, is going to come back and look for them or try to find them. And
lo and behold, it's a Mars ship on the scopes.
Yeah, the Doniger is the Martian ship, and it's finds their signal they sent out with their radio. So, and they're going to basically pick up the remaining crew of the Canterbury that's on the shuttlecraft. And then we jump back to Ceres Station, where because of what happened to the Canterbury being destroyed, that there's a water shortage, and so there's an issue with that. And we even see Detective Miller trying to take a shower, and he can't even shampoo his hair because he ran out of water.
Luckily, he's got that second job, and he finds Julie's house and finishes his shower there.
Right, he goes to Julie Mao's house, and yeah. she has now he has tons of water there, so he cleans out the rest of the shampoo out of his hair and finds out some information about her, finds out that her father is threatening to sell her racing ship, the Razorback, and she doesn't care. She's committed to the cause of the OPA, so that's where she wants to be. And then later on, we get Miller and his partner, Havelock, are in talking to a one of the high representatives of the Ceres government, and their garden grass is being siphoned.
Someone stole our water.
And so they have to go down the pipes and see who's siphoning it, and they come across these gang of hoodlums, basically, who are doing that, so they have to rough them up and then let them go. That's what Miller decides to do, Detective Miller. So, like, just let him go. He roughs him up a little bit, but tells him get out of here, kind of thing. So,
then Miller has a date with the guy from Chernobyl.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So we had the character. What's his name? Andrew Dawes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is the head of OPA, and he goes down to talk to, actually, I don't think he met him yet in this episode.
Oh, he didn't? Oops.
Yeah.
It's all running together in my head.
Yeah, I know, sorry. I watched ahead of this too, but he doesn't meet Dolls yet. But, so they go. He goes down to the docks to find out anything about the Razorback, and he finds out that the dock master remembers Julie Mao, and telling he beat up some another dock guy for like talking rude to her, so she beat the shit out of this guy, and that he says he remembers going onto this ship called the Scopoli, and obviously. Miller, Detective Miller doesn't know about the Scopoli being on entangled with the Canterbury story yet.
Right.
So he doesn't know but that will come together later. But he doesn't know this is part of the thing. But he's like, okay, so she's on the ship in the Scopoli. So he doesn't know anything about that at the moment. Then he goes through Julie's dating profile, so it's like a Tinder version in the future.
Tinder in space.
I know. And
at first I wasn't sure if he was looking for himself or if he
I
was
did
doing
too.
Research.
I totally thought that myself, yeah. And so he's going through there and he finds this guy that he's gonna look at that I guess his name is Night Bandit 31. And he's going to find out about this guy that he...
Although, was it a dating profile or was it the ship's crew log?
I guess they're all in tangled up together, especially for belters.
I guess that's possible.
So
one-stop shop.
So anyways, then we go back to Miller's detective partner. Havelock goes to... that same prostitute from before, the Gia or Gaia, and she's kind of he gives her this cactus that one of the higher government people gave him. So, and now we're going to jump back to Earth and talk about the UN Undersecretary General, and they're talking about how she's gravity torturing this OPA operative and how that's illegal. They can't do that, so put him in a tank. And so she does do that, and this guy basically won't tell her anything, but she knows that he's tied into somehow, and he just won't give up anything. Later, he gets the woman, Christian, has a friend who's a Mars representative, and she's going to invite him to her home and
make him have a really bad time.
Yeah, right. So anyway, so that's kind of these two episodes tied up together. Guys, what do we think of The Expanse? Dave, you want to go first?
I was just going to say the last thing that actually happens in the episode is that Canterbury gets drawn in by the Mars ship. I mean, not the Canterbury, the Canterbury shuttlecraft gets drawn in by the Mars ship, and that's like the cliffhanger for this episode.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. The Mars warship picks them up. Right. Exactly. So, what do you guys think?
You want to go first, Holly?
Sure. I really enjoyed the show so far. I felt they did a really good job with the set design and execution of it all, like the lighting. They really made me believe that what I was seeing, you know, were real. I didn't think anything was too bright when it should have been, or dark and vice versa. I felt like even the light in the garden was like, you could clearly tell it was artificial light. Mm-hmm. I like the thought that went into that. And I haven't decided how I feel about the multiple storylines yet. It's not that I don't find them interesting. Actually, I tend to really like that. It helps paint pictures and give you clues as to what's really happening and lead you in a direction that the writers wanted you to go in. But I don't know. That's pretty much it.
Yet to be seen, yeah. I'm just going to go next. I really enjoyed this. Like I said, I watched this before. I didn't really, not that I didn't like it before. I just didn't really, I think I was just tied up with other things in my life. So I wasn't like super dialed into it or for some reason, but, I just really enjoyed this. This is great. These couple episodes just show a whole nother world. It's like more gritty, definitely not Star Trek-esque, very limited technology, just like we're just colonizing a couple worlds out in our solar system, and we're just kind of like reaching out of our planet Earth, and then we're seeing all the political issues and the social issues. I mean, they even have Belter Creo, which is like such a freaking cool idea that they only have their own little dialect that they, mm-hmm. you know, that they're trying, that they all speak. Because at first I was like, what are they saying to each other? I thought, am I not hearing this right? Like, I was like really confused, especially the conversations between Joseph Miller, the detective, and that the one prostitute, Gia, I don't know how to say her name right, but I'm like, what are they saying to each other? So I thought that was really cool. I love the idea that you know, these Belters are like sort of like the subclass, and they're all trying to make their way, and Earth couldn't give a shit. They're just kind of like sitting on the planet of like just a wealth of resources. Mars is kind of like the upstart, you know, nation making it's trying to make a name for itself and becoming more and more powerful. So now Earth and Mars are kind of like butting heads a little bit. So it's cool stuff. What about you, Dave?
Man, this is a great show, and it's kind of fun to see a limited tech sci-fi show that's based on, I guess, of a more realistic view of science fiction, where mm-hmm. you got the gravity situation where the ship's not moving. If you're just tumbling in space, you're at zero G because you don't have like the rocket force against you. But with the rocket force, they're basically built like regular, like a Saturn rocket ship almost, where like the decks are like stacked on top of each other, so they're tall, not very wide, as far as your decks go. But when it's going, you've got propulsion holding you down to the ground. So it's a really great concept and way more realistic way to do science fiction as a whole. As far as space travel and whatnot goes, so it's kind of a fun, more realistic take. There's all this conspiracy going around. You've got like the lady in the UN, you've got the detective, you've got like the crew of the Canterbury trying to figure out what's going on. They can't catch a break. All these crazy storylines all happening at once, and it's a lot of fun. And there's war brewing, there's conspiracy, and it's a lot of fun. They're juggling a lot of stuff. Like in the first two episodes, like it's hard for me to separate it in my head right now because I've seen the entire first season,
right?
And I had watched it years ago, but I just never followed up because they weren't on Amazon Prime and I wasn't going to pay. Oh, they were, but you had to pay for them back in the day. But now that they own it, you get them with Prime, which is great. So anyone on Prime looking for something new science fiction to watch, if you haven't seen this,
yeah, watch check it. That
out. This is a great show. Like I said, it's hard for me to pull apart my head right now, but looking back the first two episodes, like, they're pretty good. I mean, it's still building stuff, so a lot of, like, what's going on is still, like, very just, like, building the foundations, but the show really starts to get rolling in the next episode, I think, and then it just keeps going, and it's been really interesting throughout, but I mean, like, if I had to say there was weak episodes from the first season as a whole, it's probably the first two just to get the ball rolling, and then things really start to go, what the hell's going on? It's crazy. It's really good. And I gotta say, I think that the pilot's my favorite character of the show right now.
Yeah,
I like him a lot. He's kind of fun, comic relief type character, almost kind of like not exactly like Wash and Firefly, but there's a lot of Firefly like callbacks to this. You got Amos, who's basically Jane. He's like the dumb muscle. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I love it too, and. We see him get more dumb muscle as time goes on. I love the detective, Joe Miller. He's awesome. He reminds me of like a Tom Waits type of character with a hat. So,
and everyone makes fun of him for having a hat.
Yeah, exactly. What's with the hat? Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's cool. So it's definitely unique. And, I'm definitely into watching this, and I want to see more of this. So that's I'm very excited to talk about this.
Yeah, and like I said, I really hope we can like go all the way through and catch up before season 5 starts, because it'd be nice to talk about that live and go into that kind of being excited for it, because apparently it's a really great show. Because people wanted it to come back after Sci-Fi canceled it, so I mean, it can't be that bad if they like, you know, did the fan letters thing like they did for Star Trek to get it another season.
Exactly, right. It's going to be fun. Definitely. I'm excited to talk about this more often. Maybe we'll just become just talk more expanse in the next couple episodes, and we can have fun with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited, too, because I know we've been kind of down on Star Trek, or at least I have. And I mean, Aaron says he's in the middle ground, but he's kind of been down on it, too.
Sure, talk for me.
Yeah, talk. I don't know. Like, I feel like we make this the same points, but we both come to different conclusions. So, I don't know.
Jumping to conclusions.
Jumping to conclusions, Matt. I don't know. Yeah. It's great. I do like the detective a lot, too. Unfortunately, I think my least favorite character is Holden, as far as, like, the main lot go.
Yeah, he's, like, he starts off, like, you're kind of interested in him, and then he kind of, like, peters out.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's almost too much of a do-gooder. But, like, the lady at the UN, like, she seems, like, a super shifty at, right now. So
she's
like,
sexy lady. I like her. I love her costume, too. That voice. Ooh.
Your cigarette voice.
She does have a nice voice. No, it's a good voice.
It's a good voice.
I keep waiting for her to, like, reveal a hole in the neck she's smoking from constantly.
I like it. There's something about it. I can't quite put my finger on
she's
it.
She's also like the Commodore or Admiral or something in Star Trek Beyond, the third of the reboot in the films.
All right, she was, wasn't yeah. she? She mm-hmm. was in it for like real quick.
Yeah. Well, she's like the beginning and the end, because Kirk goes and resigns to her. Then he goes back to her at the end. He's like, no, I'm not going to resign now.
Yeah, like I her like she's got the I don't know if they're Indian or Iranian or whatever, but those costumes.
I mean, the outfits look very Indian.
Yeah, I just love it. It's cool stuff.
And she's a great actress. I mean, everyone's really good, I think, in this show. Most of the people I don't really recognize. Like, I recognize the guy who played Death. I recognize, you know, the guy from Breaking Bad. I recognize her. And everyone else is kind of, the cop kind of looks familiar, but I don't know what I've seen him in before.
Yeah, yeah. No, I a lot of them I don't really know. I know what's his name? Thomas Jane, who plays Joseph Miller or Joe Miller, yeah. He played the original. I think a couple of years back he did the Punisher before Punisher.
That's series. What I know. That's what I know him from then, because he looks familiar. I couldn't place him. That's definitely because I saw his Punisher movie.
He's done a lot of stuff actually.
I'm sure he has, but I just couldn't put my finger on anything he's been in. But I definitely saw his Punisher movie.
Yeah, yeah. Which wasn't that great.
I mean, he was okay.
What was it? It was in something else. I can't remember. Another series. I can't remember. For some reason, I was thinking it was Constantine, but I know he wasn't in Constantine. It escapes me right now. But anyways, so yeah, good stuff. Very excited to talk about this more in the future. So, oh, that's what it is. The Mist, the Stephen King movie.
I don't think I saw. I saw like the old Mist.
Well, it's. I mean, that's what it, from way back in the day. It just.
It wasn't like a '60s version of the like a really old. Or no, it was the Fog. I'm sorry.
No, it was
the Fog. I'm sorry. I saw the Fog, not the Mist.
Yeah, no, the Mist is. It's a like these these creatures come out of like a dimensional rift, and like all these people are stuck in a supermarket, and so they all have to like figure out what they're doing. So, it's really creepy, and the ending is so heartbreaking. Oh my god! if you get triggered easy for things, do not watch this movie. But anyways, broke my heart. Anyways, so the Expanse, cool stuff. Definitely, let's get more out of this in our lives. So, guys, if you have not heard, we are doing a shorter, extra episode on the Book of Dune. Check that out if you have a chance. We'll be putting those episodes out, and there'll be something to look forward to. If you have the book Dune, or if you can download it or get your hands on a copy, you can read along with us. We're going to do 2 chapters a week, maybe 3, depending on the size and length of them, so, and how much time we have, of course.
Yes.
So
those will be coming soon, sometime after this episode.
Yeah, so check those out. And as well, we're going to be talking about more Expanse, and we have Strange New Worlds, and we have a lot of stuff coming up to look forward to for sci-fi and other interesting things. So,
absolutely.
Very exciting.
Yeah, can't wait to get more into the Expanse. It's been a great ride so far, and it's just really nice science fiction. Really nice.
Yeah, very cool. Guys, if you are want to contact us, if you have different ideas or thoughts, you can go to our Facebook page. We can go to Facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. Contact us there. You can also contact us through email at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can tweet us at Synthaholics Duo. And if this show is something you want to support, please go to our Patreon.com/Synthaholics, and you can donate there. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait to get into more stuff. So live long and prosper, one and all.
Remember the cant! One and all.
One and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink before the night's over. Shit our pants, you're the best drinking friend I ever had.
I gotta go run pee. I'll be right back.
Actually, I gotta pee too. Pee break. I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
I'm back in break.
Hello.
What's up?
I'm back. Ooh,
I can do links.
Hey, Holly.
Yeah.
I washed my hands.
You did?
I didn't say wash your hands this time. That sucks.
Did you pee real good? I did too.
I did. Oh my god, I had to pee so bad.
No wonder this episode was so short. We both had to pee. It's like, yes, let it be over.
Let's get out of here. abort.
I mean, like, I plan on diving into a lot of YouTube about the Expanse and getting into the lore and getting into the ships, because I didn't look for the Expanse on YouTube, but I just was looking through YouTube, and they linked me a video on the Doninger, and so I'm halfway through watching that. I'm going to look up some of the other like behind the scenes stuff on, or not behind the scenes, but like just nerd stuff on the ship, so I can get a little bit more to talk about. Because I mean, like, it's not like Star Trek where there's like a moral dilemma usually to talk. I mean, I guess there's some moral stuff in it, but I mean later on, but it's not like Star Trek specifically. It's a grander scheme type narrative. Right. So like, I guess there's not a whole lot to talk about because not it's just the building blocks of what's to come.
Right.
So yeah, I want to dive into like the lore of it a lot more, so I got a little bit more things to talk about and discuss with the Expanse. So
news, do we want to put this Expanse episode out first before the quarantine episode?
Yeah, I can do that.
It's not You're all right long. With that?
Yeah, it's not very long. I'll just do like a non-real edit. I mean, it's a short episode. Even now, we're only at 52 minutes.
That's great. That's fine.
So, I mean, yeah. Like, I'm probably not going to do much editing to it. I'll just cut out the long space where we were peeing, and then maybe have some of this. Maybe have some of this in there. They can listen to us talk about the long space we're peeing, and they don't have to listen to the long pause.
Maybe. Just don't add trickling noises.
That'd be so funny.
I'll have to add, like, the more you know, or, like, don't take our word for it, the dun-dun, and, like, peeing noise. But I have to look for sounds. I don't know. I'm probably too lazy to do that tonight. In the Expanse, after I was like, we should watch Picard. Well, I mean, we have to watch Picard. I'm like, I had no idea the quality of it. I mean, I was scared it could be bad, but I was hoping it would be good since Patrick Stewart was involved. She right. did not trust me.
Oh, Holly just said.
Up in a few.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Nice. So she didn't trust me. But like, she's like, she actually asked yesterday to watch the Expanse. I was like, okay, let's watch it. I was like, sweet.
Oh, I really like this. And it's funny, I think I watched up to 5 episodes before, and some reason I stopped watching. I can't quite remember why.
The thing is,
basically, yeah.
Go ahead.
When they got away on the Martian ship on the shuttle, yeah. or that small ship on the Martian ship, that's where I stopped watching. So, like, I don't remember why I stopped watching, but I probably was just because life was just getting in the way, and I just couldn't get into it. You know, as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, this is a great show.
This is a fantastic show. I'm so excited to talk about the show. And so season 4 is out. Season 5 is not out. It'd be nice if we could catch up to the point and talk about season 5 live. It'd be kind of awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if we want to talk about this for the next couple of weeks, I'm all right with that.
Yes, I'll be totally down for some Expanse. Oh man, it's good. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's like what Picard should have been.
I don't think a Picard could have been this, but I mean, it just
the
was
quality.
But this was a book beforehand.
Yeah. That's the thing. When things are a book beforehand, it's a huge leg up. That's why Game of Thrones was so good for the first couple seasons.
Right.
And then when they ran out of books, the quality took a giant nosedive.
Yeah, so somebody sits down and figures out plots and characters, and then they have a template to run off of, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we can just see where everybody's at, but...
God, this is so great. This is so good. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, this is like a sci-fi show I really want to watch. I want to see more of this kind of shit. You know?
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, that makes me excited for Wheel of Time too, because Wheel of Time is, you know, giant book series. So I mean,
is that Amazon?
Yeah, it's gonna be on Amazon.
Oh, nice. Okay, I thought that was for some reason HBO. I don't know why. I think Foundation is supposed to be on HBO.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about Foundation or not. But man, yeah. The stuff adapted from books has been so good. All the original stuff has just kind of been garbage.
Oh, I know.
The Boys was an adaptation. The Boys was amazing.
Yeah, I have some of the actual Boys original comics from early 2000s or whenever that came out.
Nice. Yeah, I'm super pumped for The Expanse. And I think, so I was looking at how the books and the show line up. So season 1 is most of the first book, season 2 is the end part of the first book, and then the first part of the second book, and then they apparently wrap up the third book and all the second book in the third season. So they're still like even though they didn't perfectly fit it in all in one season, they are like there's still three seasons for three books, even though they didn't finish each one inside each season, which is kind of nice.
Okay.
And I hear that's what they're going to be doing with Wheel of Time, too. They're suspecting that they're going to finish the first book in the first season and start the second book. And just barely start the second book at the end of the first season.
Gotcha.
For Wheel of Time. Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to talk about this.